Welcome to the Closing Mark Report. It's November the 26th, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing. He's in Normal, Illinois. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, lawmakers are still on Thanksgiving break. That means they are at home getting pressure from voters to do something about the high price of energy. Illinois Senator Dick Durbin has aired his disgust with the farm bill debate, and the supply of anhydrous ammonia is dwindling. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later in the half hour. And then I'll give you some more details about the Corn and Soybean Classic series of crop production meetings coming up in January. And don't forget, at the bottom of the hour, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss today's global agricultural weather forecast. It all happens on this Monday edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Did you miss the Closing Market Report or some of our other agricultural programming? We've got the answer. You can get all our AM 580 agricultural shows delivered daily directly to your computer. Just go to our website, willag.org, and look for the headline, subscribe to AM 580 Ag Podcast. Follow the simple steps, and you'll never miss an ag broadcast again. From the pre-opening and opening ag reports to the closing market report to Commodity Week, all delivered to your computer when you need it. Head on over to willag.org and put the AM 580 Agricultural Podcasts to work for you.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. A full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago, on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby December wheat, 12.5 cents lower at $8.14 a bushel. March contract down 11.5 at $8.34, and July at $7.10, down 3.5 cents for the day. December corn futures, 3.85 3/4, down 3 1/4. The March contract, 2.5 cents lower at $4.03 1/4. And the May futures at $4.13 1/4, down 3. December corn next year at $4.31, finished a penny lower for the day. January soybean futures, 3.5 cents higher, $11.03 3/4 was the settlement price. March contract at $11.21, up 4 3/4, and the May futures at $11.26, up 5 cents. November of 08 at $10.37.5, finished 4 cents higher. December bean meal futures, 90 cents higher, $292.90 the settlement price. December bean oil at $46.69, up 2 cents for the day. Mercantile exchange numbers: December live cattle, $96.90 a hundredweight, 12.5 cents higher. February futures were down 17.5 cents at $98.52 1/2. November feeder cattle at $108.66, down 19. January futures 25 higher at $110.95, and the lean hog futures finished the December contract at $55.60. They managed to stay unchanged on the afternoon. From the outside markets nearby, January crude oil futures at $97.45 a barrel, down 75 cents at this hour, and February futures at $96.51, down 62. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 12,899 is down just about 81 points for the afternoon.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened to the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, it was a long Thanksgiving break for Dave Dickey and I here at the radio station. We even took Friday off, so we didn't get a chance really to talk about what happened in the trade there, and it sure looks like there might have been some important things like $11 beans that snuck in there on us along the ways in the nearby trade. Tell me a little bit about what's been up for the last several days.
Well, the fundamental news was quite positive there on Friday as the USDA put out their weekly export sales report and showed that we sold over 66 million bushels of beans, and China continues to be a large consumer of beans, and there's ideas that there's going to be more bean business as time goes on as they try to secure their needs as we go into year-end. Also, too, the bean market was able to take out the technical key reversal to the downside there Friday by moving above the 1090 level, indicating there's some more room to the upside. The market was able to follow the energy market. The energy finished the week strong. Overnight trade beans followed through. We're able to follow the energy market higher, but as the energies broke, the beans sort of gave up their luster or performance there. Where we go from here, probably a lot of zigging and zagging and some consolidations for a little bit. A lot of the technical people are looking for a little bit of retrieve here, as we have moved to some highs. Then the 1988 high was right around this 1090 area. We're above the $11 benchmark, and so that opens the door to move higher longer term.
I like the technical trade. A zig and a zag, is that the technical term? Sometimes a zig and a zag means we're up at the top end of the marketplace and looking for a place to finish it off. Do you think that's the case, or we've got enough room to work yet to the upside?
Well, we've probably got a little bit more room up longer term. Probably the main concern or focus, too, is what's going to happen here next year. The USDA does project a 210 million bushel bean carryout, but when you look at the big world demand base for beans and bean products, we got to continue to feed that demand bull. And if you keep everything consistent into next year, for example, if you have the same amount of acres, same amount of yield, and you have the same amount of demand, and you look at the bottom line, we'll be deficit over 150 million bushels of beans. If you add 4 million acres to the mix, we'll have a carryout of 12 million bushels of beans. And if we pick up 6 million acres, we'll have a ending stocks estimate of 94 million bushels. So when you project and look forward here, the function of the market is to buy at least a minimum of 6 million acres going into next year. So one easy way to do that is offer producers $10, $11, $12 beans.
And that would be offering mostly in the United States now, because we're a good portion of the way and decisions have been made already in South America, or do you think there'll be hectares purchased there still today?
Well, they're still in the planning progress. They still got a little bit to go yet, but they could possibly add a few more acres, but I think they're pretty well set to where they're at. But the pressure really becomes on the southern hemisphere to make sure they have favorable weather, and that's been kind of questionable with some areas too wet and some areas too dry. Then plus, too, it puts a lot of pressure on to continue to be good managers of the crop by controlling rust and other fungus and disease and pests and so forth. So we've seen a big shift in momentum in the bean supply-demand balance sheet. Now the function of the market is to stay higher here until the world becomes satisfied that we're going to have ample supplies going into 2008, 2009.
Well, let's work with that 4 and 6 million acre process. Can corn manage to give that much up and still stay fairly strong?
If we keep everything consistent in the corn, for example, same yield, same demand, next year we would have 2.5 billion bushel carryout. So if everything consistent, we'll have more than ample supplies. If we lose 3 million acres of corn and keep everything consistent, the carryout would be roughly near 2 billion bushels with a 3 million acre drop. And if we lose 6 million acres, once again keeping everything consistent, just for example purposes, carryout would drop to about 1.5, 1.6 billion bushels. So there is some room to see some acreage drop, but we're using a yield of 153 duplicating this year, so the big key there would be weather next year, since weather can fluctuate that corn yield dramatically.
So if we look at that, then we're really saying that that we could manage to lose a few acres. We would be tighter on supply of corn, necessarily so, and if we had any weather surprises along the way, then we could be in trouble. But that it's possible to lose the acres. Does that mean that corn will consolidate at the current levels, do you think, and trade sideways as beans try to garner some extra acres?
Well, looking at the overall acreage flexibility or the acreage options and sort of producer thinking at the present time, we feel, yes, we could probably lose some corn acreage. And in that case, it tells us that we probably need to keep corn of 08 above $4 to keep corn in the acreage mix. But it tells us that probably 450 08 December's is probably enough to the upside for now. So it's going to be a real yo-yo affair this winter until the trade gets a specific handle on what producers want to do for 2008.
But do you see anything that would put the marketplace at a point where it would push both corn and soybeans dramatically lower? For instance, really large numbers of wheat acres. Worldwide, that is.
Yeah, the longer term, but the trade will wait for confirmation and make sure we get through the winter dormancy first. But yes, larger feed grain production on the world scale, that'll be a competitor with corn. Failure to see an acreage drop in corn could push December 08 futures back to the lower $3 level in a hurry. So you sort of got to look at the competitive grain situation. Wheat went high enough when we rationed the feed wheat supply. They went to corn there for a while. Now corn's at some higher levels. They'll shift the ration back to wheat. So you got to watch wheat and corn as a combination, both domestic and worldwide. Now, the thing to remember on corn, I gave some pretty high carryout estimates, you know, almost 2.5 if everything's consistent, and down to maybe 1.5 if we lose 6 million acres. Now, you compare that to the world supply-demand balance sheet, unless we see a dramatic increase in corn acres worldwide, we're still going to be relatively historically tight on the world supply-demand balance sheet.
Run through the livestock numbers for me.
Well, some consolidation here. The hog market's kind of interesting here. We've seen some optimism fundamentally here, some more talk about some Asian business and pork, looking at some demand as we go into Christmas ham season in through here. Cold storage report could start to show a drawdown in stocks, and so therefore we're getting the fundamental support we need to push hog prices higher. However, we're already at a substantial premium when you compare futures to the actual leans. Probably the big explosive market in the livestock sector is going to be the cattle complex. When you look at the cattle and feed cattle inventory, we're going to run into some marketing holes as we go into this winter, early spring. And you compile some weather problems on top of that, you can see a dynamic market in the cattle complex as we go through next April.
Kurt, thanks much.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel is with Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report each and every Monday afternoon.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123, or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
At the bottom of the hour, the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago will join us to take a complete look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural weather. Here's what Ed Kieser, our own chief meteorologist at the radio station, says it'll look like this evening across the two-state region in the north and west central parts of Illinois. Cloudy early, and then it'll clear off in central and east central Illinois. Cloudy, some sprinkles, a few flurries early, and then it'll clear off there as well overnight. In northern Indiana, cloudy, a period of snow with 1 to 3 inches possible. In central Indiana, mostly cloudy, some showers of rain and wet snow. In southern Illinois, cloudy early, then clearing. In southern Indiana, cloudy, some snow showers. Lows will range from 22 in far northwestern Illinois to 34. In the far southern part of Indiana. Tomorrow in the northern and eastern parts of Indiana, partly sunny. Elsewhere, mostly sunny. Highs from 38 in the north to 52 in the southwest. Here's Dave with the news.
In agricultural news, lawmakers remain this week on their Thanksgiving break, and one topic has been repeatedly discussed: escalating crude oil prices, which are translating into higher gasoline and heating oil prices. Voter anxiety is increasing the odds that Congress push for a consensus energy bill before lawmakers adjourn in December. The bill is expected to include a hike in the renewable fuels standard mandate and an increase in the corporate average fuel economy. Lawmakers are publicly saying it is more likely Congress pass an energy bill than a farm bill next month. Senate Majority Whip Dick Durbin of Illinois says he hopes his colleagues stop using the farm bill as a way to pass their pet projects.
I sure hope so. I'm disappointed. We spent 2 weeks on the bill and never considered a single amendment. We got tied up in every other issue under the sun. Many of them are important issues, but they don't have to deal with the farm bill. I am concerned about the Exxon Valdez spill of oil in Alaska and whether the court cases should be reviewed. But does that belong in the farm bill? And the whole question about going through the whole tax code now and deciding changes that we'll make in tax reform that go way beyond farming, I just think is out of place. So we tried to zero in and say, let's come up with amendments on the farm bill and pass the farm bill, and we ran into resistance. After the Thanksgiving break, I hope those of us who feel strongly about it can convince the other side to join us in a constructive effort to pass this bill before the end of the year.
Congress returns to Washington, D.C. on December 3rd. Taiwan has rejected a shipment of U.S. beef after inspectors found 5 bone chips. The frozen beef was reportedly from a Cargill slaughterhouse in Nebraska. The anhydrous ammonia supply is dwindling. Last week in Nebraska, some pre-orders went unfilled. Anhydrous prices were as high as $650 a ton a week ago. Topps Meat has filed for bankruptcy 8 weeks after suffering the second-largest recall of beef in U.S. history, 21.7 million pounds of frozen hamburgers. Topps says it has up to 10,000 creditors and liabilities as high as $100 million. The recall was triggered after the discovery of E. coli contamination. Meanwhile, American Food Groups has recalled nearly 96,000 pounds of processed ground beef in 7 states, including Indiana, after 2 people were sickened. The problem surfaced after an investigation by the Illinois Department of Health. Germany's agriculture minister is calling for the European Union to suspend its approval procedure for biotech crops and seeds. Horst Seehofer is demanding EU governments undertake a wide-scale review of how genetically modified products can be used in Europe. And USDA chief economist Keith Collins says he will step down from his post early in 2008. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Tickey, of course, your director of agricultural programming here at the WILO radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. While you're there, please sign up for our absolutely free and really good marketing newsletter. Just hit subscribe. If you're already subscribed and no longer want it, which is highly unlikely, but if you are and you don't, then you can also hit unsubscribe there. Also, if you want to download Commodity Week or the Closing Market Report as a podcast, that's pretty easy to do right there off the website. Or if you happen to have iTunes, in the search field, just type my name, Todd Gleason, and you'll find both of them. You can sign up for the podcast right there in iTunes. That's all right there in your computer, either at willag.org or in that little piece of software we like to call iTunes. Well, up next, learning is best served as a discussion. This winter, that's exactly what the University of Illinois agricultural professionals expect to have with the audience attending the corn and the soybean classics. The Corn and Soybean Classic Series is entering its 11th season. It owes, in no small part, its longevity to the day-long give-and-take that happens between the presenters and the audience. Aaron Hager explains what that means.
The surveys that we ask our participants to fill out every year have really shown us that the folks who come to the Corn and Soybean Classics really value what the program does for them, provides the information that it provides to them. And they also speak very, very highly of the opportunity to have a close conversation with any and all of the speakers throughout the day. And this is one of the opportunities that is a little bit unique in some of the, in many of the educational programs that we do typically during the fall and winter months, is that we have 9 speakers from here on campus that are going to the state collectively in one location, and any member that of the audience, of the participants for that particular classic, we certainly encourage them to ask questions throughout the day. Find an individual that you may have specific questions related to and have a conversation with them out in the hallway during a question and answer session over lunch hour, even before or after the meetings has either beginning or ended.
Aaron Hager is a weed scientist and this year's chair of the Corn and Soybean Classic Series. What makes the series of crop production meetings unique is extraordinarily simple. Each of the 9 specialists dedicate a full day to the meeting. Roughly speaking, it means they are available for individual discussions about 85% of the time, and the specialists like it that way because those individual discussions provide valuable insight to the academic as well as to the agriculturalist. The Corn and Soybean Classics are scheduled for January the 14th at Rend Lake, January the 15th in Springfield, the 16th in Moline, January the 17th in Malta, and January the 18th in Bloomington. This year's events will include 2 ag economists, 2 entomologists, an agronomist, a soil fertility specialist, a plant pathologist, a nematologist, and a weed scientist. For more information or to register, search Google for Corn and Soybean Classics. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Time for our Monday afternoon closing market report. Look at the cash grain markets. Brian Stark from the Andersons here in Champaign County joins us this afternoon. Good afternoon to you, Brian.
Good afternoon, Todd.
A couple of folks, I take it, are still on vacation there. Have you had much of a busy day today?
Yeah, it's been very busy. Obviously, with the uptick in the night session, a lot of selling on the old crops side specifically, selling a little out of the elevators, selling a little off the farm, and then, of course, we turned lower with the outside markets easing lower before the ag commodities started to trade. So a little bit of confusion going on, but it was busy this morning.
Corn and soybean sales both, or just
I would say more heavily weighted in corn, but yeah, a little bit both. We got over on Friday to $10 cash out of the field for new crop beans. A lot of selling there, but mostly corn-driven today by the purchases we saw this morning.
New or old crop?
Old crop on the corn side. I think, you know, with the D-State kind of waiting and hovering in this 430 area, a lot of sales were made a couple weeks ago when we got to $4. Now we're in the kind of the 410-ish range. People are more patient to wait and see how high this is willing to go. For what we can see, all intents and purposes, corn seems to be kind of in a choppy action right now. Most of the rallies we've seen have been driven by outside market influences, and I think Kurt alluded to it earlier, carryout's pretty comfortable, so it may be after the first of the year before we start to see an acreage issue really take effect after the last production report comes out the middle of January before corn decides it needs or wants to rally on its own.
What are you hearing about the South American prospects for soybeans?
Right now, the latest we've heard is that they're making good progress and have caught some rains. One area that specifically stood out has been Argentina. They've missed some of the critical rains that Brazil has got. So there's a little bit of dryness concern starting to come to a head down there, and I think the bean complex kind of took note of that on Friday, as well as the big export number helped drive us to where we are today.
And finally, you think basis levels will hold strong coming through the next week or so?
I would say so. Basis seems to be firming, or it has the last few weeks, and I think it'll stay firm at least till the middle of December. Historically, the end user fights to gain coverage to the end of the year through the middle of next month. I think once we get there and you start to get around the holidays and get closer to January, basis will probably start to soften back up a bit.
Brian, thanks much.
Thank you.
Brian Stark is with the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Joins us each and every Monday afternoon from that office, somebody does, to take a look at the cash grain markets. In about 2 minutes, we'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy about the agricultural weather forecast. Your regional newscast comes up next. This is the Closing Market Report.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Illinois lawmakers have heard concerns from union members over a planned acquisition in the nursing home industry. The Carlyle Group, a private equity firm, is making a $6.3 billion bid for ManorCare, which operates nursing homes in Champaign, Paxton, and across the country. Members of the Service Employees International Union are worried about staffing levels and pay under a new owner. A U of I professor says even though he doesn't like the idea of a new constitutional convention for the state, it might be the only way to tackle intractable issues like taxation and state pensions. Political science professor Jim Nolan says voters will be asked on the 2008 general election ballot whether a new convention should be called to revisit the entire Constitution. A race to replace Democratic Representative Julia Carson of Indianapolis is expected to attract many candidates. The chief of staff of the Congresswoman says she'll not seek re-election next year, but she hopes to return to Washington after the first of the year. The 69-year-old Carson announced over the weekend she has terminal lung cancer. IUPUI political science professor Brian Vargas says an open seat like that will attract all kinds of attention, and he expects many Democrats to enter the race. Two Republicans have already announced plans to run for the seat in the Indianapolis area, but Vargas says the district still seems to be solidly Democratic. Meanwhile, a poll finds that a majority of Hoosiers would support a sales tax increase if it would result in a decrease in property taxes. That poll conducted for the Indianapolis Star and WTHR found less support for an increase in the income tax. The U of I School of Music has lost $63,000 of equipment in an apparent burglary. Police say someone cut a hole into a door at the music building before last night and made off with two vintage tube microphones as well as a mixing console and a video camera. It'll take a little more time than planned to finish a new highway interchange in southwest Champaign. A spokesman for the State Department of Transportation says some asphalt work still needs to be done at I-57 and Curtis Road before traffic can use it. IDOT says weather has kept that work from being done, and they need some dry weather and temperatures above 45 to complete it. It was scheduled to be open sometime next week, but it's been pushed back. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. This is the Closing Market Report. We're joined on this Monday afternoon by Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Mark, you had a good Thanksgiving, I take it?
I had a wonderful Thanksgiving, Todd. Thank you.
And me too. What can we look forward to or not look forward to, depending on how you view the weather forecast?
Well, Todd, winter is coming.
Oh, dang.
And not only in the calendar come December, but also here in the pattern here setting up across North America this week. And we're beginning to see Arctic air kind of ooze down into areas of western Canada and the northern portion of the plains. And as we go through this week and more so into the weekend and next week, that Arctic air is going to be flowing eastward across the country. So as a result, temperatures, whereas the next several days are going to see some high volatility in temperatures, we're going to then get into a consistently cold pattern starting over the upcoming weekend, continuing all through next week with kind of temperatures averaging out to be, in the Illinois region, about 5 to 12 degrees below normal for the early portion of December.
I guess it's the time of the year that that happens in this part of the world. Tell me about South America, where climate's a little bit warmer than what we're used to here.
Yeah, where they continue to plant corn and soybeans down across Argentina and Brazil, and Brazil is in really good shape. Here we finally received some rains across those drier northeastern sections of the belt in Brazil over the past week, and now that area is in a more kind of regular or seasonal rainfall pattern. So overall, no issues to report of in Brazil at the moment. For Argentina, though, some areas just need to be watched here. We have a few dry pockets here and there, and the forecast for or the pattern here for the early December is going to lack of, and along with that, generally warmer than normal temperatures. So that's going to result in an expansion of the dryness here. Still not a critical issue. In fact, that'll allow for rapid planting of crops here coming up. But once we get later on in December, they're going to need some more moisture to replenish things down there.
Can you check in on the northern hemisphere, across the hemisphere, in the wheat-growing regions? Tell me how the winter wheat season got through sowing and how things are setting up.
Well, overall across the hemisphere, actually the area that's having some issues is actually here in the U.S. in the Plains Hard Red Winter Wheat Belt and some of the areas of like western Kansas and Oklahoma, Texas panhandles, which have missed out on precipitation during the key planting time frame. But going elsewhere, Europe is in really good shape. They've had adequate soil moisture reserves here, especially an improvement here in late in Western Europe. Areas of northwestern Africa, you know, the key country of Morocco, that area actually just received significant precip over the past several days. So that's, and they're just starting up planting over there. So that's providing a very timely start. And then areas of Ukraine and Russia, their crop now has gone dormant with cold weather that's settled in, and they're overall no major issues there. And finally, no major issues for China, as their crop now is also beginning to enter winter dormancy with generally adequate soil moisture reserves.
We'll be watching closely that winter wheat crop, as it should be a big one, I would suppose, as we come into the harvest season next early next summer.
Exactly, and that's going to be the item to watch here as we go into the spring. And certainly a lot of winter wheat planted. Now it's just a matter of harvest what we planted.
All right, thanks much.
My pleasure, Todd.
Josh Darr is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Somebody from that office joins us each and every Monday afternoon right here on the Closing Market Report. Thanks for being along. Make sure you visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. Stay warm out there. I'm Todd Gleason.